The thought of his food coming wrapped in obituaries unsettled him, but there was nothing to be done about it. Placing one work-grimed finger beneath Reg's smiling face, cleaner now than Travis had ever seen it in life, he began to sound out the words. He had been in the habit of giving his paycheck to Claire every 2 weeks, and she'd seen to the buying of the things needed to run the house. Since she'd left, he'd taken to putting what money was left over into a coffee can near the stove. He'd never before had savings of his own. He fingered a canvas patch that Claire had sewn onto the right knee of his overalls, the stiff fabric worn smooth from his kneeling. It had replaced the patch before that. Maybe he'd see if Clemens down at the general store had any new overalls. He'd be damned if he'd give any of the money to Claire. She couldn't go on hanging on her family forever. She'd need money. And then she'd have to think about what she'd done running off like that. Realizing that he'd made no progress on Reg's obituary, he returned his finger at the top of the column. A bluebottle fly landed at the edge of the spool and began cleaning its legs. Travis had once known a man so fast that he could catch them in his bare hands, easy as taking a rock off a log. Travis held his breath, concentrating, then shot out his arm with such force that his box seat scooted beneath him, nearly tipping. The fly buzzed around his head before settling on the top porch step. Travis threw himself at it, but missed again, nearly pitching himself down the steps while the fly went off into the trees, the sideways light showing briefly on his broad blue back before it disappeared into the oak's shadows. Travis fingered the patch on his knee, now pulled nearly free of the stitching. Well, he thought, that's that. The clerk was just locking the front door of Clemson's when he got there, but unlocked it again and let Travis inside. The store was gloomy, the air sharp with the smells of dye and machine oil. Patches is right over there, the man said, remembering Travis from his earlier visits. No, sir, I want the whole new set, Travis said, hooking his thumbs under the straps to indicate the overalls. Well now, the clerk said, and stopped to look at Travis anew. I've got Pointer and Oshkosh. I suppose I'll stick with Pointer, Travis said. He felt for the money in his pocket. Its bulk felt substantial. He peeled off a bill and thrust it at the clerk. Here, let me write you a receipt first, the man said, hands up to ward off the money, and hurried through the dark displays to the counter in the rear of the store, leaving Travis standing with the money held out. There was the scratch of a match and a candle flare dimly lighting the rear of the store. Travis stood among the displays and watched the clerk pen the receipt and record the sale in his ledger. It's good that you've bought now, the man called to him. My supply man says that there's not enough cotton this year, that they're having to ship it in from as far away as Texas. Can you imagine that? Next shipment, they're going to go up to $1.50. Travis frowned. For overalls? They come with a man inside? The clerk laughed politely. How much are they now? $1.20. Christ, Travis muttered. It figured on no more than a dollar. He picked his way through the displays back to the counter where the clerk had laid a pair beside the ledger for wrapping. These here from Texas? The clerk was lost in his calculations. After a moment he lifted his head. Travis repeated himself. They're all sewn together in Wisconsin, I believe. The clerk turned the overalls over, held a tag up to the candle. It doesn't say. I suppose that they use cotton from wherever. It's a funny thing. I've never been to Texas or Wisconsin, but my trousers have. The clerk smiled, continually tallying figures in his book. Travis looked over the rows of numbers, bore the small man some grudging respect. The clerk wrapped the overalls in paper, tied the parcel with twine. Is that hard, doing all that? Travis asked, nodding towards the ledger. But the clerk handed him the package, set to locking the cash drawer again, and Travis gathered his parcel. I suppose I'd better be going, he said. The clerk led him back to the door and locked it behind him. The stars were beginning to show in the eastern sky. Travis carried his bundle down the walk, peering into the stores for prices. After the grocery, there was a shop with a businessman's suit displayed on a mannequin with a painted face. The knot on the dummy's tie was smaller than the ham-fisted one that Travis's pap had taught him.